The content of this episode should not be confused with treatment advice or direction given from a mental health professional. Nothing contained in this podcast was made or intended to supplement or supersede relations with mental health providers or treatment. While Jeremy Levitt is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a mental health provider in this podcast. The same is considered for any professional that may appear on the show. Their views are solely their own and do not reflect any company or profession they may represent.
Welcome to Mind the Gap, where teens have a voice and parents learn to listen to that voice. Here we will talk with teens about their everyday challenges and accomplishments and learn what they are facing daily and what their needs are. As parents, we will learn valuable skills from a licensed marriage and family therapist on how to be aware of the gap in communication and close that gap. Welcome to Mind the Gap. Hey, we're back and we have another fun, exciting episode that we're going to be talking about today. We'd like to welcome Luke back.
Hey, guys.
And Audrey.
Hi, what's up?
And we didn't scare her away last time, so we're excited to have her back. I always think it's fun to have two perspectives. Yep. I love having the female perspective on different topics. And
most of my friends are girls, so it works out.
Yeah, it works out for Luke.
Was that a humble brag? Was that a flex?
No, I'm just...
It's just a statement of fact. Yeah. Just a statement of fact.
Just stating the facts. So today we're going to be talking a little bit about rejection. And what that looks like.
Speaking of Luke's friends are all girls.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking a little bit about rejection, what that looks like coming from a teenager's perspective, and how we can help our teenagers to have healthy responses to rejection, and how parents, we can actually have healthy responses to rejection through our teenagers as well. And two, modeling that behavior as adults when we receive rejection. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I know that's a big deal too.
It's a huge deal. And this is a really important thing to pay attention to, parents, because I feel like a lot of us, I know myself growing up, I didn't handle rejection the greatest. And I think my parents tried, but I don't know if they handled it the greatest. And I guess who does, really, right? None of us are going to do this perfectly with our kids. But because I didn't learn that growing up in a way, like in a healthy way, maybe, right? Or the most healthy way. And a lot of that was my own fault, not my parents. But I'm more likely to do the same things I did growing up with my kids, right? So this is really important for you parents to maybe do kind of like a little, you know, little check on yourself. You know, how did I handle rejection growing up? What did it mean if I was rejected? And when we talk about rejection, we're talking about lots of things. Not making it on a team, not getting into the school play, not being the student of the month. Not getting onto student council, a girl, a boy, it doesn't matter, right? Like rejection covers all kinds of things. You know, rejection could even go like, you know, you're one of 20 people and you don't get the person asked to help the teacher, right? Like it goes in so many different ways. So it's important to maybe pay attention, parents, to how you handled rejection growing up. And what were the messages you heard, and what did it mean to you when you were rejected before you start figuring out what to do with your kids on this one? It doesn't take long. Just, you know, pay attention to it, be aware of it, and then adjust accordingly. And we'll talk a lot today about what strategies to use. So the teen should be listening to this too, because this is going to be helpful for them to kind of understand maybe where they could develop themselves a little bit better. Because I think a lot of times when we don't handle rejection the right way, we're stunting our growth. Right? When we're beating ourselves up and we're doing all this negative behavior, we're slowing down our progress.
Yeah, I like that. So we were just talking a little bit about this beforehand, and Audrey was like, oh, hey, guess what happened to me?
Yeah, I just applied for a lifeguarding job at Red Rock, and I like went through the whole like interview process, and I did the whole thing, and I didn't get the job, and I really wanted it, but I kind of realized that it was okay that I didn't get it, because I don't know, there's like positives and negatives from not getting that job, and it did suck, but at the same time there's like other ways that I can use that time in my life.
Yeah, you're thinking about that really good. And I think one thing that you said there that we have to hit on, like the first thing we have to recognize, is it does suck. We cannot pretend like rejection doesn't hurt. It is emotional pain. And in our brains, there is literally no difference on a physiological level between emotional pain and physical pain, right? Maybe varying levels of chemicals in there, but the chemicals are all the same, right? So a boyfriend or girlfriend breaking up with you in your brain is the same as being stabbed, right? And very often people find that type of rejection as like hurting physically, right? So heartbreak's a reason, because it's not just, you know, my heart broke, it literally hurts. So that's something we have to recognize. We can't dilly-dally around that fact. And the sooner we accept that rejection hurts, the better it is for our kids, because then they can start to accept it's okay that it hurts. Too often in my office, I'll hear parents, and I'll have to correct them. Oh, it's, you know, it's like they're well-intended, but it's the, like the at least this or at least that. And they don't ever qualify it. And what the kid really needs in that moment, what the teenager really needs in that moment is empathy. They need you to be there with them in the pain, not trying to make it all feel better.
Personally, I think if you get into a breakup, the first thing I would is I'd go to my friends instead of my parents. Because that's more of like a friend thing, I would say to me. I'll definitely let my parents know, but I don't know if I could have like a full-on conversation about a breakup.
So why would you go to your friends? What are you going to get out of that? I think you're right.
I just think they would be there for me because they knew the person.
So they can offer you a little bit better empathy.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think so. You're right. Like that might be a friend conversation, a trusted friend conversation first, yeah.
Yeah, but then I'd definitely talk to my mom. I'd be like, yeah, so-and-so broke up with me, or like, I got rejected from a dance, which rarely happens, I feel like. But if you got rejected from a dance, I'd be so horrible, I think.
It would hurt, yeah.
Yeah, and then I'd be like, yeah, they said no. And then, I don't. What would you tell me if that I said that?
I would say, they suck. No, just kidding.
She probably would, though. She would probably say that.
Okay, I think, like Jeremy said, validating the feeling that it really hurts, and it's not a good feeling, and it's not a pleasant feeling. I think being a parent, you want to protect your kids from all the pain, but I don't think that's healthy.
No, it's not.
I think acknowledging it and letting them go through different experiences so they feel rejection at a young age in my home so I can help them understand what that feels like and how to handle it is healthy. I remember, Luke, you were in elementary school. What grade? We're talking about when you didn't get picked to be the class representative.
So I was in fifth grade, because that's like the grade you're allowed to run for all the student council stuff in elementary school. And I thought it would be so cool because I saw all the older kids when I was younger, like do all this like student council stuff, like at the dances, be in charge of everything. And I was like, okay, like I got this in the bag. Like I'm popular. Everyone knows me. I'll win. That's basically my mentality going in. And then I totally lost. And my mom wasn't even there.
I think I was actually out of the country.
She was. And I had to call her to tell her, and I was bawling my eyes out on the phone. And it was with my dad, and my dad's like, it's okay.
I think you just went and got ice cream or something.
Yeah.
But I remember feeling that, like, I felt hurt because he was rejected. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what? Like, how, you know, how did he not win? In my own brain, and I was trying to process the whole rejection because of the way he felt, and I was hurting because he was hurting. But then we just talked about all the positive attributes that he had.
We were like, it'll save you so much time. You don't have to like go to all these meetings before school, wake up early, you know.
It's trying to smooth it over. But you did that in the right order, right? You got to acknowledge, like, that's good. We can do that. But we have to acknowledge how much it hurts too.
Yeah.
Right. So parents, that's your first step.
Just saying, yeah, that sucks. I'm sorry. That really sucks.
Help them name what they're feeling. Help them understand what they're feeling and not sugarcoat it. If you sugarcoat it, you get the participation trophy generation. Because they're trying to protect somebody's feelings, we give them a trophy even though they come in last, right? And there's actually been studies done that show that, you know, kids aren't dumb. They know they don't deserve that trophy, and giving them a participation trophy actually makes them feel worse, right? And so when we smooth it over, like, oh, it's okay, pay attention to all the positive things. But when you don't acknowledge maybe what went wrong, the kid knows what went wrong inside. And it hurts even worse when we just kind of glance over that stuff.
Yeah, it was like, so just last year, I ran for president because I was the freshman class president. So then I'm like, okay, I'll do this every year. I'll be like all the class presidents, right? So then I ran for the sophomore class president. And I thought, like, no one would want to run against me because they all knew I wanted to do it and I was going to win. So so what happened was this one girl, she was like, student council was like her life right now, which it definitely wasn't my life, but I still wanted the position. And she campaigned her butt off. Like, she had, like, tricks that were just so smart. Like, she had, like, a note with the link, and she airdropped it to everyone, and the note said, vote for Ellie. She airdropped it to every single contact she could in the school walking around. And I'm like, good for you if you, like, want it that bad, you know? Because I didn't campaign a single bit.
Mm-hmm.
I just expected people, like, to look on the list and recognize my name and click it.
So this leads us to our next step, and it is the idea that we have to acknowledge what went wrong. We have to acknowledge, like, I always call it analyzing a lost battle. It's a weird way to think about it, but we have to acknowledge our responsibility in the rejection, right? Yeah, and that's kind of what you're doing, yeah, right, exactly. There.
Definitely after I was like, well, you actually campaigned, you actually tried, like, you, first of all, you deserve it more than me because you earned it. You will honestly be better because you have a lot more time on your hands. And if I want to do next year, this is what I'm going to do different.
Love it. And so what I like about that is you can acknowledge your responsibility in it. And when we do it in that way, we're not attaching any of that to our worth. You know, it's not, I didn't lose because I suck or I'm a horrible person or I didn't get rejected from this girl, this guy because I'm unattractive. It's, I didn't put in the effort. I didn't put in the work. And that's something I have control over. I can change that. Right.
Yeah.
I think it's important to, like, recognize that stuff, because if you don't recognize that, like, you're never going to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the most important thing, in my opinion, that comes from rejection, is, like, being able to grow from it.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to recognize what you did wrong and applying what you did wrong to the next situation that you could potentially get rejected in.
But there are some times I feel like where you don't know what went wrong. They just said no. Like, for your lifeguard, why didn't you get accepted?
Yeah, I don't know, but maybe it was because I wasn't, like, certified yet. I had friends that weren't certified that still got it, but there was just a lot of people, and I understand it, and that's kind of just how jobs work, but maybe in the future I can try to, like, build my resume, or I don't know.
Well, I think that's a really good example, because you don't necessarily know, right? But you can pay attention to, I think the proper thing to do in that situation is what you're doing is, what do I have control over? And can I improve any of that? It's great, right? It's not, oh, it's because I'm this tall or because I look this way or because, you know, I swim and I look like a frog, whatever it is, right? Like, you're not doing any of this stuff you don't necessarily have control over. You're talking about all the things you have control over.
What I just thought of is, some things that you don't have control over, where you get rejected is, like, in the entertainment industry, like, you have to look like this or you'll get rejected.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like that could actually take, like, a big, like, that's, like, where it really hurts, because you can't change yourself the way you look and stuff like that. So if you get rejected that way, that's really hard.
So let's talk about that, because that can lead us to our next step of paying attention to our internal dialogue, right? If that hurts when that happens, like, say I go to, like, become an actor and they're looking for this guy, but it's pretty obvious I don't have a six pack, right? But they need a guy with a six pack because there's this many shirtless scenes and the ladies love it, right? What's my internal dialogue? If I'm healthy, it's, they're looking for a guy with a six pack. I don't have a six pack, right? But if it's unhealthy, it is, I am a fatty, right? I suck. I'm horrible, right? The internal dialogue is really, this is where we as parents can help the kids, is maybe helping them understand what their internal dialogue is saying in those moments of rejection, and make sure that they just, like, train them, help them understand it's important to just stick to the facts, right?
Yeah. Or honestly, if you know what you're signing up for, because they'll honestly show you sometimes, like, you have to be this. So mm-hmm. to kind of know what you're getting yourself into before you do it too.
And be confident when you go, like, if I, you know, I know who I am and it, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, Luke, that just brought up something that I was thinking about, because when you said, well, don't try, I want to make sure that our kids know that we still want you to try a lot of things.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
And rejection is actually, I think it's a healthy part of life, because at some point, at somewhere, we're going to be rejected. Mm-hmm. And it's going to happen over and over again.
Lots of times.
So starting from a young age, even being picked in the school play yard, right?
Yep.
When they do play yard picks. And
like recess, like team captains?
Yeah. And you're like, hey, we have team captains. And you're like, oh, they didn't choose me to be the team captain. Like, yeah, or you're the last one to be picked.
And you're like,
right? You feel.
You're literally like, okay, I guess I'm on your team. And they're like, oh. You're like, what do you mean? Like, I'm not that bad.
Yeah, I was that kid.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, who hasn't been that kid at some point in their life, right?
Well, yeah, it's like,
how sweet was it though? How sweet was it though when your last one picked? But like you guys, most of you guys know, I have a second degree black belt, so I was really athletic. I just looked real scrawny, right? Yeah. And then I'm freaking kicking everyone's butt out on that field.
No, yeah, that is really cool when you're actually good at the sport,
and you're like, psych, you didn't know. But I think like it starts at a young age.
Yes.
And then even as an adult, I feel rejection. Yeah. You know, I mean, I get rejected with different things and different ideas and thoughts. And so I think if we can learn at a young age and we can teach our kids at a young age, especially going through these hard teenage years where they have so much going on, if we can just teach them healthy, but still try, still try for the position, or still like Luke, don't just because you didn't get it 1 year doesn't mean don't go for it the next year. You know,
I'm still going to run for the class president next year, and I'm actually going to try.
Yeah.
It's going to be cookies this time.
Everyone's getting a cookie in the school.
And a t-shirt.
Yeah. So, yeah, you reevaluate, right, what went wrong, and then let's figure out what happened and go forward. I mean, I experienced this with Alyssa in dance, and it's always who's in the front and who's in the center and who got the special part. And sometimes these little ones, if they feel like they didn't get the special part, well, why doesn't the teacher like me? Two, am I not a good dancer?
Well, this is interesting because where are they getting the message that is important? Yeah, it's from their parents.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? They hear their parents, oh, so-and-so got this or so-and-so got, and they're all, it's not bad. They're just talking.
Yeah.
But the kids start to be like, oh, there's value in that.
Right.
Right? Instead of value in me. That's interesting you said that. Yeah. I didn't think about that right there.
Yeah.
How much am I doing that to my kid?
Right. And that's a really important concept because then I'm trying to say, well, it's a lot of times it's because of your height, right? They need the height, or you're actually stronger in this section, or you're stronger in that, you know? So then you're trying to help them feel their worth and feel like, you know, all that rejection. But yeah, that's interesting how you say, like,
where are they getting that from?
Yeah.
So you said, you know, even as adults, we feel it, and that's 100% true. And I think that's something that we as parents can understand. Maybe another way we can help our kids, because, you know, for those of us that are married, we even feel rejection in our marriage, right? And the problem is it's not necessary. We don't have to feel rejected if we don't take it personal. Just because my wife has a different viewpoint than me about something and she wants to do it this way instead of this way. Like if I take it personal, that's going to feel like rejection, right? And so I guess the goal of us as parents is to really help teach our kids to not take it personal. Right, it's not about your worth as a person or as a human being. It might be about your skills. It might be about, you know, something that you have control over, but you have control over that, and you can work on that, and you can grow, and you can develop.
Yeah, a thing I just thought of also was when I think it was last year for the piano recital, I didn't practice my song good enough, so she kicked me out of the recital. And like she like didn't let me She didn't let me play in front of everyone.
He literally got X'd from the piano recital.
Which literally
was that like your intention? Because that would have been my intention.
No, like in practice, I just didn't practice enough. And one, I was like, okay, I didn't practice enough. Like I honestly don't even want to play in front of everyone if I don't know my songs. But then a thing was everyone knew, so everyone always brought it up for like a year. They're like, oh, you're gonna get X from this piano recital too, and I'm like, just one time, I promise, you know. And at the same time, I'm like, yeah, it kind of hurt because, like, I mean, I guess I'm not as good as the other kids, but then I'm like, or I just didn't practice. Like that was totally on me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well, and that is a fact, right?
Yeah.
In that context, you weren't as good as the other kids.
Yeah.
Right? That doesn't mean you don't have the capability to be that good or better. Like, we don't want to do comparisons, right? But like, you didn't practice. You didn't have it down. That's just a fact. That has nothing to do with your worth.
Yeah.
Right?
We did tease him every other recital after that for a while.
It's pretty funny, though.
I'm sorry, Luke, of that. Yeah, but I think that motivated you, right? Because you didn't want to get kicked out again.
Definitely, like, she was really impressed with my next recital. She's like, no, she honestly was like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. I was like, backhanded compliment, but I'll take it.
So let's hear from you guys. When you do feel a rejection, what is some of the internal dialogue, the unhealthy dialogue that maybe you might challenge it and you don't stick with it, but what are some of the unhealthy tapes that play in your head? I can tell you some of mine, but mine don't necessarily matter.
I don't know. I feel like for me, I'm a pretty confident person, mm-hmm. but I feel like when I get rejected in my head, I become like less confident, and mm-hmm. it kind of just like alters my entire like way of life.
Mm-hmm.
And I like in my head, I'm like, oh my gosh, was I really not good enough for that? Like, was it really me? But that's definitely unhealthy, because you have to realize that I'm like, that's me taking it personal, yeah. and you shouldn't be taking it personal.
Right. Right. What if, and this, maybe Luke, this is for you, okay? What if somebody tries to make it personal?
What do you mean?
Like, you ask a girl out and she says no because you have hippie hair.
Oh, and gives you a reason?
But she's trying to make it personal.
Then
why would I date you?
Then maybe, like, if she gave me a reason that maybe if, because I've never really experienced, because I'm not really 16 yet, can't really, you know, date. But
officially,
yeah, if I'm thinking in advance, I'd be like, honestly, I might think about changing whatever she said about me and make it better.
What if it's your hair?
I would maybe cut it if no one liked it.
But let's talk. Go. I want
to
hear.
I'm like saying, like, you have to.
I know. I have to. But I don't want to.
And if you're happy with it, then you can't let someone that's minded.
That would be
to
moving
tell
into
you.
People-pleasing
yes,
behavior.
Definitely true. But at the same time, I don't want to keep getting rejected. I'll fix it. And then, you know, like we said.
Does a person that doesn't like your hair and you like your hair, like, do you deserve that person?
No. But if I want the person.
So you want a person who doesn't accept you the way you are.
Okay. Now it's sounding bad. But if this person was like, okay, actually, I'm totally thinking about this. That's like sounds really bad that I'm going to change myself for this person.
Maybe like more personality-wise.
That's
where that's you're
a
like,
big,
oh.
Okay, where someone's like,
you're a
mean.
Jerk. Yeah.
Yeah, you're a jerk. I don't want it. I'm not going to go with you. Then I'd be, okay, I'm going to be nice. But I'm going to change myself.
Yeah.
For the better, though.
Absolutely.
Or like a personality thing where it's like, oh my gosh, like, you're annoying. Like, you need to stop saying that or stop doing that. Like, you can't.
I know,
if you're being yourself, you can't change yourself.
Getting called annoying, honestly, is sometimes like, jeez.
But that's one of those things where, like, we can do that honest reflection, be like, okay, what ownership do I have here? Is this something I can work on, right? Or is this something I want to work on? It might be something that's totally benign. It just bothers that person. You're like, all right, well, obviously.
It's like a fine line between improving yourself and people pleasing.
Yep.
It's also like, it's really hard when you get called stuff where it's like, I don't even really know how to fix it, you know? When you're like, how do I totally change my whole personality?
You don't.
To better the like a ton of people, to make them feel better? I don't know.
Really, the definition of codependency and people pleasing right there. You just defined it for us.
Well, no. Let me
change something to make these people feel better so I don't have to feel their rejection or their feelings.
Yeah.
But I think that is really typical with teenagers.
Yep.
And it's what everyone does.
That's why trends are there. That's why fads are there, right?
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. I mean, I'm really liking where this is going because I think this is really typical. I think most teens probably aren't as healthy as Audrey in who they are and in their confidence. I remember as a teenager not having that confidence and wanting to fit in. I was kind of a chameleon, so I would kind of fit in with whatever group I was in. And I thought actually that was healthy because I could be friends with a lot of different people. But then I thought, well, who am I? And why, you know, maybe people want to be friends with me for who I am. Instead, I was being friends with everybody. I'd fit into their different groups.
I think, yeah, you were also probably scared of getting rejected from a group.
Yeah.
No?
Like playing psychologist over there,
like,
huh?
Getting rejected from a, you didn't want to get rejected from a friend group, so you're like, I'll just fit in like them. I'll just be like them, so they want to be friends with me, you know? I feel like a lot of people do that now, too.
Yeah, I think that's very typical behavior for teenagers, and this is why we're having this conversation, because we want our teenagers to be healthy emotionally and know who they are, and then, you know what? Find your friend group to fit who you are. So.
Yeah, that's like me, Audrey, and Claire, like the same exact person. Like
anyone that like sat in on us hanging out would be like, what the heck?
Yeah, they're so weird. But to us, it's like, we're like.
It's just normal.
Yeah, we're just like normal to each other.
Yeah.
Well, think about the people you enjoy being around the most, okay? And they could be adults, it could be kids, I don't care. But those are the people generally that we perceive as the most confident. We like to be around confident people because a confident person knows who they are. We know what to expect from them, right? We don't have to worry about how they're going to react to something. We know we can be honest with them. Like, we just really like being around confident people. So maybe that's a little side benefit of doing this work is if you become confident, you attract more people to you. Just kind of how it works.
Yeah. How does that tie into like rejection when you're like, just like the friend group rejection, I guess?
Mm-hmm. Well, if you keep getting rejected from these, I mean, I hate to call teenagers silly, but you guys know what I'm talking about, right? Like these, they're so fickle. Like when, you know, oh, I'm all about this, but like 2 years from now, they're going to be about something else, right? But, and it's because they're trying to fit in or whatever. And if you're confident in who you are and you're rejected all of these other groups, you have to imagine that you're going to start attracting other confident people to you. Other people that don't fit in the typical mold of fickle teenager who doesn't know who they are, who is afraid of rejection. You're going to start attracting those people. Mm-hmm. That's maybe what we're looking for here is, you know, rejection doesn't matter because we're going to start attracting like-minded people.
Yeah, I remember in middle school, in like sixth grade, I kind of had like my little friend group. We all liked hanging out. We kind of like just together. Seventh grade, everyone just hung out with everyone. And then eighth grade is when I kind of got more into the popular group, but I kind of had to like kind of in a way act like them. But then once I was in there, I was myself with everyone. But there was for a little bit where I had to kind of get myself recognized by them, get in the group, and then I could be myself when I'm already friends with them. Mm. It's kind of hard to explain, but
well, it's just maybe focusing on common interests at that beginning phase and not, you know, focusing on the other stuff yet. But that's okay if it's really a common interest, for sure.
Yeah. And I also, it would really suck to get rejected from the popular group in middle school.
Oh, it's middle school's hard. I don't even want,
Yeah, that's a whole new.
Yeah.
Like I mean, as an adult, I want to be like, screw them. They're stupid anyway. And
yeah, but in middle school, that's like a big thing, I guess, popularity. So it's like you don't really want to be the kid left out in middle school. Mm-hmm. But in high school,
because you become a target.
Yeah, but in high school, it definitely is a change where it's like, I can be myself. I don't really care. I don't know. That's a more of a mentality in high school.
I think you're right, but I think this year is different in that the kids haven't been in school to experience that. So they're still, my son's in ninth grade this year. He's still in eighth grade mode with his friend. Yeah.
Same with my brother. I'm like, when are you going to start hanging out with girls? And he's like, I'm not meeting any girls. He's literally just hanging out.
No way to do it.
Yeah.
So I want to also talk about how we can teach our children to have a healthy rejection if they're going to maybe reject somebody or a group of kids, or even, you know, if someone comes, you're working and it's not healthy at the work environment and you need to tell your boss you need to quit. Or so how can we teach our kids to maybe, or you want to reject somebody in a healthy way, you know? So how do we?
Well, I think that's a skill set that we're all going to have to learn at some point. And when we don't learn it, then we're always people pleasing, right? Because that's just not setting boundaries with people. But I mean, ultimately it comes down to just sticking to the facts and using tact, right? So don't make it personal. Just stick to the facts.
Some people don't want to hear the facts.
That's their problem and not yours.
But that'll hurt them a lot.
That's their decision. If you're just sticking to the facts.
Yeah.
Right.
But if the fact is you're annoying, I don't want to hang out with you because you act childish.
That's where the tact comes in.
So you just tell them that?
Well, you have to use tact at that point. What's important to say and what's not.
Yeah.
Right. It's not your job to make them change. It's their job. So if they're interested in what it is, they're going to ask you, hey, what was it about me that made it hard? And then you can give them all that information. Right.
So, look, I remember back a couple months ago, you were involved. I don't know, maybe it was even like I'm losing track of time because I don't know what happened in 2020, like at what point. But you were involved in a situation where you actually had to tell a friend that you couldn't be friends if they continued with this behavior.
Oh, yeah.
And we don't need to go into specifics, but you actually had to do that. And you did it all on your own. I didn't even know you did it until later. And I was like, wow, Luke, I was really impressed with how you handled that situation. So what I want to know is how you came up with this situation. Like there was a friend that was behaving in a way that was not conducive to Luke's standards with how you treat people. And Luke didn't, it was kind of deciding between if I'm going to be friends with this person or kind of call them out for poor behavior, the way that they were treating somebody who was close to Luke.
All I was like is I just I don't really want to hang out with you if you're going to act like that's all I said, just straight up. I was straight up with them. I didn't sugarcoat it or anything.
So you just stuck to the facts.
Yeah, and then...
You didn't say you're a horrible person. You didn't say...
Well, maybe I did say some of that stuff a little before, I guess. I kind of was like, you're kind of messed up because this is the stuff you did. Like, I don't want to hang out with you if you continue with that.
That's not saying he's a horrible person.
Yeah. I remember having the conversation with you, and you didn't get personal. You just stated the facts and said you did this and you did this, and that is not okay behavior. And yeah, so we can't be friends. Or we can be associates, but we're not going to hang out.
Yeah, and I guess they kind of took it as like, okay, whatever. But later on, we kind of like talked about it a little more, and we kind of realized that we just need to be better, and then we're kind of okay now, you know?
But I think I was actually really impressed because I think Luke set healthy boundaries mm-hmm. within his friendships. And like we had talked a lot about it beforehand, and we talked about that kind of behavior is not okay. It was the way this person was treating another friend, and he was defending this other friend, and unbeknownst to, you know, this other friend. But I think calling out poor behavior, I was nervous for him because I was like, how do you reject that friendship when we have set boundaries that we've talked about and they're not behaving in the way in which your friends, you would want your friends to behave, you know? Yep. And so
I think it's an important skill. We have to learn I don't like the word reject in this context because it sounds so negative, right? But that's what we're doing. Yeah. Right. So in our cultural upbringing, I don't know if you felt this, Sherry, too, or if you guys are feeling this now, like there's this kind of underlying message of never say no to a date. Or never say no. Oh,
you've had a podcast on that for sure.
Right? Like that's, I mean, you guys have to learn. I don't like that. I think you should be able to say no.
Yeah, I think you should too.
And if we're worried about rejecting people, we're never going to say no.
Yeah, I agree with that. I feel like it's up to us whether or not we want to like go on a date or not. Mm-hmm. Or up to like the other person if you ask them. And like, mm-hmm. I don't think it should ever be out of like pity or like
Or parents could force it too a lot. Like dates, like, oh, just go. Like, you'll totally make them so happy if you go with them.
Oh, that statement right there.
Oh, my parents did that to me.
I'm responsible for somebody else's happiness. That's just screwed up.
It's important to teach our kids that it's okay for them to not have to accept everybody into their circle of life. Mm-hmm. You know, if I don't want this person to be in my friend group, then there's something that is there.
But I do think it's important to, like, practice rejecting someone.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember, like, freshman year, if I, like, found out there was a guy that liked me and I was, like, kind of, like, weirded out by it, the way I would reject it was not the best way I could have handled it. And it was just, I look back on it and I'm like, man, that was just really brutal of me to handle it like that. But because I recognize that now, I know how to, like, properly reject someone
mm-hmm.
and do it in a more respectful way.
I mean, that's the hard part about that is that's, you're right. That's, we need to do it. We need to try to do it that way. But some people don't get the pictures. And then it might have to become brutal. I mean, not intendedly brutal. My wife had this guy that, like, even after we were engaged, he was special needs, right? So she had to, like, be very kind and gentle and, right? But she had to get firm at one point, and I can't remember exactly, maybe she didn't, maybe she just like let it slide, but I remember thinking, like, you gotta set some boundaries with this guy. I wasn't worried, but like sometimes you do have to get more firm, right? Sometimes you do have to strengthen your boundary, but I think that always the right approach is to be kind first.
Yeah. Oh, so I think if you know someone's like not confident about themselves, then do sugarcoat it. If you know, like, maybe they could harm
them. What do you sugarcoat it
as in, like, say reject them in the nicest way possible?
Yeah, that's where you're
stating the facts, though.
That's where you use your tact, right? Like, are you talking about lying?
Sometimes
mom won't let me date.
Sometimes it could come to that.
I think you can use your parents as an excuse for that. Oh,
yeah, my mom said I could always use an excuse for anything.
Let's talk about it here for a second, but then let's do a whole other episode on this. Because you said, well, what if they're afraid of hurting themselves?
Yeah.
Right. Like, that's a whole other episode right there where you guys have a lot more of that in your lives than we do when we were kids. Cause that's hard.
It's so hard to know what to say to sometimes. Cause it's like, if you hurt their feelings, they might never forget it too, and where it's like it really sticks on to them. And,
did you hurt their feelings?
Oh no, this isn't like it.
Are you personally responsible for hurting somebody else's feelings?
No. That's no. up to them. That's
up to them.
That's their response.
But I mean, I get my feelings hurt all the time by what
that's you
say.
Choosing.
But how do you, you know own it? Then
by,
your feelings hurt
but then
sometimes.
By you getting your feelings hurt, that's you like feeling the pain and feeling the all that
and that's
sucks.
Okay.
And then you grow from feeling
it's
that
okay
pain.
To feel yeah. that as long as you work on not taking it personal. It's okay to be like, man, this really sucks. Or a lot of times when we have our feelings hurt, it's because somebody says something that resonates with us. We're like, oh yeah, crap.
Yeah, that's how I get my feelings hurt, I guess. I'll be like, oh, that hurt, whatever.
Because it's probably true. I should work on that.
But then I still say whatever.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, whatever is, I get what you're saying. You're not saying whatever. You're just saying, all right, like, move on.
Yeah.
Right? That's like, yeah.
You can't dwell on it, right? Yeah. Like, you mm-hmm. get yeah. rejected and then you have to move on. I mean, that's healthy for mm-hmm. you to be able to move on instead of sitting dwelling on it. But going back to Luke saying you cannot be responsible for somebody else's happiness. You know, and worrying about that, I like that Jeremy says you have to have tact. And two, I think you should have compassion
yeah.
and understanding, but that doesn't mean that you have to be in a situation that's very uncomfortable for you. So,
well, rejecting someone's always going to feel uncomfortable. So,
yeah,
get through that real quick. Like, it's yeah. going to happen. You're going to feel uncomfortable. Yeah. Get it over with instead yeah. of sitting in it.
I definitely feel like basically whenever I do reject someone, I'm never mean about it either. Like, as in, sometimes I have to lie. Maybe I don't even have to, but it's just what I do. I like to make people feel better about themselves, personally. Like, if it'll make them, like, even that comes to sometimes when it's like, oh, you'll tell someone that they look nice if you really don't even like their outfit that much. Because it makes them feel good, and everyone wants to hear something like that, you know, sometimes.
Well, and how important is that, right? Like, we're not talking about end of world type situation here. Like, it may not be your thing that they're wearing. You might be like, eh, it's not my thing. But obviously they want to feel confident in it. And it's okay to be like, yeah, that looks great. Like, I don't think that's a lie, right? I really don't.
Alyssa and I were talking about this the other day with my mom. She's like queen of that. And Alyssa was saying something the other day. She goes, Grandma said she liked this. I remember when she said this and she liked that. And I instantly knew she was talking about my mom because she's like queen of Luke. Just Luke redid his room and she came in and she goes, Luke, your room is awesome.
No, she actually liked it. No, she did. I promise.
Mm-hmm.
And then she went into Alyssa's room. She goes, Alyssa, your room is so amazing. It's beautiful. I love it. And then she walked into Remington's room. She's like, Remy, I love your room. And, you know, every time Luke does a new hairdo, she's always like, Luke, I love your hair.
Okay,
she's serious though, I promise.
Honest confession really here. honest confession, and Vanessa's gonna hear this, right? I am the king of, I'm just honest, right? So if Vanessa goes, how does this look? I'll go, eh. I don't want to lie to her.
Yeah.
It's not bad. I think my wife is super attractive. Like, Luke, you'll understand this when you get married. Like, your wife will ruin every other woman for you. Like, she automatically becomes the only 10 in your world. Everyone else gets knocked down a few notches. And I'm like, I mean, I've learned to just be like, it looks good, right? Because it does. Vanessa's probably like cringing right now listening to this. But I've told her this before. Don't ask me if you don't want to know.
Yeah.
If you just want me to like yeah. sugarcoat it for you and make you feel better, right? Don't ask me. Now, I think most of the time she goes, how does this look? I'm like, it looks great, right? Because it's true and it's honest. But when she has like an outfit on and maybe it's not like matching the right way or whatever.
Yeah, I've definitely had like conversations with friends where it's like, so if someone really smells horrible and doesn't smell good at all, do you tell them and let them go?
Depends on your level of friendship.
Yeah, I agree.
I think you tell them. I would be so mad if I like.
Yeah, we've definitely talked about this yeah. multiple times where it's like, if you have major BO, do you tell them?
Yes. Okay, but Luke, what has happened if I've ever mentioned something to you? How do you feel?
I hate it. I hate when she says, wash your hair, it smells.
But that's kind of how like my mom and sister, my sister used to get really upset when my mom would say something like that to like help her improve, and she would just get so offended by it. But you have to realize that even though like your mom isn't necessarily your friend, she's still like trying to help you.
I'm always like, okay, I know I need to wash my hair. I just don't want to hear it right now. I just do not want to hear it from you.
I thought you were trying to get dreads going or something. That'd be awesome.
But I think it goes back to not taking it personally, yep. taking things personally. And I think that's a really hard skill to learn yeah. as a mm-hmm. young person.
It takes a lot of practice.
Because I even think as an adult, that's hard to learn, right?
I still do it.
But, yeah. but once you learn the same. That's basically the key of taking rejection.
Yep.
There. Yeah, I think that's really important.
Luke
I think
just did it. Don't take it personal.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think as parents, we model that behavior. We talk about that so often. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for us as parents to model that healthy behavior. And even, you know, sometimes I have to admit, I feel rejected from my kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if they don't want to hang out with me or like said, I would go tell my friend first when I had a breakup. And I'm sitting here thinking, oh, that kind of makes me feel bad and rejected. But I'm not going to take it personally. I mean, sometimes like as a parent, I find out things about my kids from other people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, how did you know that? You know,
that happened to me one time.
It's yeah. definitely because yeah. there's like some kids that where it's like, I'll tell my mom literally every single bit of my life. I'm like, that's a good relationship you have with your mom. But for me, it's like there's some things where it's just like, you know.
Yeah. No, that's not what I'm saying. But there are like some of the bigger things that happen that I want to be there, mm-hmm. you know. But I will take your rejection, Luke. And I will not take it personally.
Take it personal.
Yeah. No, I think I've learned a lot today. I think one of like you guys hit it on the head when you said don't take it personally and rejection and have tact when you're going to do when you're on the other side of mm-hmm. rejecting.
But be honest.
Yeah.
Out of pearls. They may not need all the truth.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you guys have any final thoughts for us as we wrap this up?
I'd say when in taking rejection, one, just don't take it personal. Two, we've talked about it so many times, just be confident in who you are. And basically that could come up in every single episode, basically, of being confident. That's like so important. I'd mm-hmm. say one of the most important things in life, honestly.
I kind of wanted to just go back on like the beginning stage of rejection and like how you feel that pain. I think it's totally okay to feel that pain. You have to feel that pain to grow, and you have to just sometimes you just have to let yourself be sad about it. And then once you're done being sad, you can keep growing and keep going.
My closing thoughts are I have the song Don't Take It Personal stuck in my head by Monica now. You know that song?
No.
It's just one of them days. You don't know that song?
Nope.
That's from like the 90s. Do you know that song?
I don't. I'm trying to think.
We can't play it on the podcast, so Vanessa will have to edit this out. It's a very popular song.
But you can sing it again.
I do. I love to sing. I am not a good singer. It's a song about how she thinks her boyfriend's taking it personal because she's like, hey, I just need an alone day. I need some time alone. Don't worry. I love you. So she's singing a song to him about like, hey, it's just one of those days, man. Don't take it personal.
Oh, yeah, I know that song.
Yep. It's a good song. It's a good song.
I know that song. Yep. Don't take it personal. It's just one of those days.
Anyway, my real closing thoughts, there's my ADHD brain, is, again, parents, like a lot of this is modeling. Just model it for your kids. Like look for opportunities to show them how to let someone down or reject, or look for opportunities to not take things personal. And really, like, it's going to take some coaching on your end. This isn't going to come natural to most kids, right? And especially in the earlier years, because they're developing their personality and their belief system about themselves. So you're going to have to coach a lot of it and help. Just don't get tired of it. Like, I know it's exhausting, but keep talking to them about it because they need it a lot.
Yeah, I love that. Keep them talking and continue to listen, because that's what we're all about, is we want to listen. We're grateful for our teenagers. You guys are awesome. I love your insights. And thank you for being willing to be open and share your thoughts. And we hope you feel like this is a safe place for you to talk and express yourself. And that goes for all of our teens. We hope that you are learning some skills and how to talk to your parents and how to have emotional, healthy, safe, resilient, yeah, yeah, boundaries and know who you are. So thanks again. We'll see you next time.
Peace.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you'd like to reach out to us, we can be found on Facebook at mindthegap-teenstalkwelisten or on Instagram at mindthegap.welisten.